Well, welcome to a special OC and Jason podcast.
You switch it up?
I switch it up for you, bro. I mean, you know why I switch it up?
Tell me why, Jason.
We're coming live from Radio Row.
Can they hear all the noise in the background? You think people can hear all the noise in the background?
I think so, man. These mics are going to be a little tough today, but I think everybody will roll with us and understand we're just in the middle of the madness.
In the middle of the chaos going on out here. This is crazy, man, but I'm loving it, though. I can feel the energy. I can feel the vibe of the Super Bowl coming, man.
OC, that's why I said this is the OC and Jason podcast today, because you have been a man out here being attacked by everyone. And they all want to know one thing, my brother. They all want to know, how did you do it? How you beat New England? And you've answered it 1,000 times. I've been next to you doing it. But I don't really care, because our people on our podcast haven't heard you say it. You saved the best for last.
Yep.
Give me the formula.
I'll tell you how. What you need to do is you need to go get Michael Strahan out of retirement, Justin Tuck, Jason Pierre-Paul sometimes, and myself. Now, if you have those four people, you're going to win against the New England Patriots every single time. Now, if you don't have those four people, apparently you don't have a chance, because nobody's been able to do it. I don't understand. The formula, the blueprint has been laid out for you, but nobody has been able to replicate it. But I will tell you this. I like Philadelphia's chances.
Yeah.
I like Philadelphia's chances in this game. I like what they have going on that defensive line. They have some outstanding pass rushers. Fletcher Cox, Vinny Curry, Brandon Graham, Chris Long.
Ooh.
And the offensive line for Philly is also solid. Listen,
arguably the best in the league.
I think the New England Patriots are going to be there for the taking. Will Philadelphia take them? That I don't know, but they're there for the taking.
You know, you've been consistent in your analysis, and as the days go by, you're persuading me more and more why the Eagles have a really significant chance to win this game, and it's because they dominate both sides of the line of scrimmage. But the Patriots' offensive line is pretty good, man. I mean, especially in the interior, the same way that the Eagles are. And we've always talked about, how are you going to beat Tom Brady? Well, you got to get pressure up the middle in his face, make a move off his spot. But the center and the guards are really tight with the Patriots, and that's where that sensitive spot is, right? That's where you have to protect.
Yeah, that's going to be the key. Are they going to be able to hold up, though? That is the big question. Right. Will they be able to hold up?
Right.
I don't know.
You know what? Something else just happened a second ago. We were here chilling, getting ready to rock and roll. Everybody's here. And a guy walked in. I'm not going to say his name. I'm going to let you introduce him. But he's a receiver for the Detroit Lions, legend.
Herman Moore.
And now, you said that was your favorite player.
I just loved the Detroit Lions back then. You're talking about Herman Moore. You're talking about Johnny Morton. They used to call him Johnny's Morton. Talking about Barry Sanders. Like, for some reason, I loved the Detroit Lions. Now, to this day, I can't really put my finger on why I really picked them, because I just came from Nigeria. And it was just the Detroit Lions for me, man. I wasn't really watching ball, but the only team I would watch was the Detroit Lions.
Did you think you were a receiver?
No. Like, football wasn't even an option for me. Like, I came here specifically to get an education.
Right.
And then I saw the cheerleaders, and I saw that the football players were getting all the cheerleaders.
Yes.
And I said, I want one.
By the way, that makes me... Something happened to us the other day, media night.
Yeah.
Remember we had to take a picture with the cheerleaders from the Eagles?
And you
were so uncomfortable. You didn't want any part of anything Philadelphia.
I didn't, man, because, you know, my hatred for Philadelphia runs deep.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine my feeling of this Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
Philadelphia versus the New England Patriots. Can you imagine how it is burning my insides up?
No bueno. No bueno.
But I want to talk about the other big news of the day.
Okay.
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang signed for the Arsenal Gunners.
Okay.
Do you know who this guy is?
Nah, break it down to me.
Striker for Borussia Dortmund.
Okay.
Outstanding pace. Now, when I was playing FIFA, like, I play with him all the time. All the time.
Shout out to FIFA and OC.
And I call him Obama. I don't call him Aubameyang. I call him Obama. And he gets it done out there. Now, I'm excited to see what he's going to do for the Arsenal team. Because, you know, I'm a Man United guy.
Yep.
But Man United is letting my guy go, Ibrahimovic. They're talking about he's going to go to the LA Galaxy. So I can't support Man United anymore. I'm looking for another team in England to support. And it's looking like right now it's going to be the Arsenal Gunners, man.
Oh man, I see people shaking their
head. Shaking his head.
Yeah, yeah.
He's shaking his head.
We're not gonna say who it is, but he's shaking his head.
Why is Jay? We're just gonna say Jay.
Jay.
Why is Jay shaking his head?
He doesn't
man.
Want any part of this. By the way, I'm gonna tell you something, Osi. You're very impressive because you were on a point and people are waving at you, you know, giving you the thumbs up, and you just keep moving through. If everybody could see what Osi's doing right now, you'd understand that this is why he's considered greatness. I mean, I got to give him some love for that. I mean,
you got to be professional, man.
You can multitask. You can multitask. I want to ask you something, bro.
Okay.
So everybody talks about what's happening in the Super Bowl and things of that nature, but one of the big changes is halftime. And I'm not talking about the halftime performance.
Yeah.
I'm talking about as a player. Let's give our fans some insight of that and how long it is and what you're doing and kind of your experience from first Super Bowl to second being ready for the halftime, the length of the halftime. Because you hear first-year teams that go in there like, man, we didn't know it was going to be that long and, you know, staying warm and staying ready to go. Talk to us about that experience.
Let me be honest with you, Jason. The Super Bowls, for me, have been really just a blur. And I know it's hard for people to understand that because it's the biggest game of your life, the biggest game of your career. But for me, it's when I look back at those games, I don't remember halftime. I only remember like little bits and pieces of the actual game. It's almost as if it was somebody else playing the game. Like I was on the outside watching somebody else perform. So when I go back and I watch the games and I see some of the things that we did or some of the things that, you know, I did, I'm like, I don't even remember. I don't remember none of this happening.
You just remember that
score. Yeah. So when people ask me about, you know, halftime, I don't remember it being any longer.
Okay.
I don't remember it being anything different. All I remember is just, you know, all of a sudden we were Super Bowl champions. People were like, oh, you guys did this and you guys... It's a blur, man. It was almost like an out-of-body experience. I remember so much more about other games that I played than I do about the actual Super Bowl itself, man.
You were completely locked in. I'm going to throw this out there, and you don't have to answer it because it was one of our personal conversations. But I want to talk about that first one when you said you went to breakfast and what was going through your mind and who you spoke to and all that and just kind of realizing what you were up against and what your role was. So
this story I do remember this. Now I'll tell you what happened. The whole week prior to that game, it was all about Tom Brady, right?
Right.
It was all about the New England Patriots. They're 18-0, they hadn't lost the game, they were going to destroy the New York Giants. So I would turn on SportsCenter and I would turn on the TV and nobody was saying anything about the Giants. Nobody, Jason. So as each day was going by, this I do remember. I remember getting angrier and angrier and angrier.
And you don't want angry OC.
You don't want that. Nobody wants that. And it got to the point where it's the day before the game, I'm sitting in the room, and I couldn't even sleep the day before the Super Bowl. I do remember that. Because I wasn't anxious. I was furious. Right? If you think about the things that we had done to get there.
Right, exactly.
The people who we had beaten to get there. And people just wrote us off completely. So the morning of, I'm going downstairs to breakfast. I haven't slept. I'm very angry. I'm hungry. I don't want to eat. And I see Michael Strahan, our leader. You know, the great.
Your right-hand man.
My right-hand man.
Yep.
This is my guy. And I see Strahan. Now, Strahan had a laugh, a particular laugh about him. You can hear Strahan's laugh.
I got it in my head now.
You can hear it before you see him.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting at the breakfast table, boiling mad at this point. Right? And I hear Strahan laughing. Yeah, I hadn't seen him yet.
Uh-huh.
And in my head, I'm like,
like, what?
So he comes, he gets his breakfast, and he sits down, and he's talking. And I'm like, Stray, listen, this is the biggest game of your life.
Right.
This is the biggest game of my life. And I had come to the realization that if we were going to win the game, we were going to have to play our best ball. The defensive line.
Yep.
Because that was the only way I saw. It was the only place we had the clear advantage.
Absolutely.
The clear advantage was on the defensive line. And I remember saying to myself, if we're going to win this game, the defensive line is going to have to play our best game. And so Strahan came and he sat down and he was talking, he was laughing. I was like, Stray, listen to me, listen. I understand.
Come here, Stray.
I understand. Now, Stray was usually the guy who was, because I was the one who was always joking, laughing mm-hmm. around. Stray was usually the more serious one.
Mm-hmm.
So when I grabbed him seriously like this. I was like, Stray, he knew I'm in business.
Yep.
I was like, Stray.
By the way, Osi just grabbed my arm and it was serious.
I'm in business. I was like, Strahan, listen, if we're going to win this game, we're going to have to play our best game ever.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, okay, cool, cool. I was like, no. Listen to me, Stray. Listen to me. This is the biggest game of our lives. If we're going to win this game today, it is on our shoulders. The game is going to be won and lost by how we perform.
Yep.
And he looked at me. He was like, you know what, Osi? You're right. And he didn't smile no more till the end of the game. Because I think he felt the fury and the mm-hmm. anger in me at that point in time. He grabbed the rest of the D-line. We just sat down. We're like, listen, boys, we're going to go after this dude. We're going to take his head off. Nobody's giving us any credit. Nobody's talking about how the things that we've done to get here. We are going to make this man's life a living hell.
And
that's exactly what we did.
And you did, and it made all of you New York and football legends. I mean, the way people talk about that, the way all you individually have had great careers, but collectively because of what y'all did, beating them twice, it goes back to what you said before. You have to take coaching out of it. You got to take Bill Belichick out of it. And you did that by, as a group, coming in and saying, this is on us. And that's the thing that people need to realize. Players come together in their different units, whether it be the defensive backs, the linebackers, the defensive line, or the offense or the defense total. But when you take that ownership, right, just like we were talking to Willie McGinnis earlier, mm-hmm. when you take that ownership, you become deadly, deadly as a unit.
Yep.
And that's what happened.
Tell me about this bone broth thing that we just got from Whole Foods that you got me drinking.
I can't believe you don't know about bone broth, man.
What is that?
I think it's a broth.
No, I understand it's a broth, but like, what is it, like almost like, you know, like when I was talking about how I eat the chicken and
yeah.
I eat the whole bone.
Yes,
like, that's exactly what it is.
Getting all the nutrients out of the bones and everything. Somebody's gonna write on Twitter and mm-hmm. explain bone broth because mm-hmm. I'm completely doing it wrong.
Right.
But it's great, right?
So, is that why they charge you $7 for a 16-ounce bottle of bone broth? Like, I was confused when I saw the price.
It's not cheap. It's not cheap. And I think the process of doing it is expensive. That's what I think. But it's great, right? Did you feel the energy?
Why is Whole Foods so expensive? Can you explain to me why? What? Okay, this is something
because
that...
Because we keep going.
Jason, this is something that bothers me, man. This is something that bothers me, Jason, okay? Why can I get a big burger for 99 cents? But if I want to get a salad, it'll cost me $3-4.
Quality of food.
Okay, but why? Why does the good food, the things that you're supposed to be eating,
yeah.
so expensive, and the things that you're not supposed to be eating so cheap?
The quality. It's all about the quality. And you are bringing up a great point.
Yes.
Because this is what countries talk about in certain areas, right? Or it can be in any place where you have an impoverished area
mm-hmm.
and you talk about the food quality near that area mm-hmm. compared to better areas and the better food quality. And it's a whole different subject. I actually read an article on it. It was interesting.
Here's what I wish. Here's what I want, because I enjoy bad food. I enjoy ice cream and cookies and cake. Here's what I wish. I wish that ice cream, cookies, and cake and burgers and all
expensive.
That stuff. No, I wish that they were like 5 calories a piece and the salads were like thousands of the salads were thousands of calories. That's what I wish. Can you imagine how lean and ripped up you would be if salad was a burger and burger was a salad?
We'd be winning. We'd be winning. Can I tell you, can I embarrass myself real quick?
Go ahead.
I want you to kind of explain what happened when a guy walked up that you knew and I knew, but I knew him a little better than you because he actually broke my arm.
Yeah. So, there's a guy by the name of Brian Mitchell, one of the best players the NFL has ever seen.
Remember we talked about on the podcast when I broke my arm?
Yes, we did talk about that.
And so basically, all you listeners, now I've confirmed the story. The guy who broke my arm from Philly.
Yeah.
I just ran into him on Radio Row and told him that he broke my arm, and he said, "Don't worry, you weren't the only one."
The guy was going around. He was going around breaking people's arms, man. That's how ferocious of a runner this guy was, man. Shout out to Brian Mitchell, man. He was a good dude.
You know what I felt like? You know, I mean, this doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes this happens to people. Say you got beat up by somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a long time ago when you were a kid, and you see him when you're older, and you have to shake their hand, and you're beyond that.
Right.
But he still beats you up.
So there's still some kind of trepidation there.
Yeah, shook his hand and I laughed, but I'm like, dude, you broke my arm, man.
You felt some type of way inside?
I felt vulnerable, like this dude.
Well, Jason, what do you want to do? We can go take care of him right now. I don't like for people to be breaking my guy's arms, man. You know, I'm not a big fan of that. So what do you want to do?
I felt cool because you was right there, so I knew I was going to be okay, but.
Listen, we can shut this podcast off right now. We can go see about Brian Mitchell, man. Is that what you want to do, J-Bro?
I see him over there, but I don't want any part of it.
Are we okay? We're good?
I'm good because you know what? We got to come back here next year's Super Bowl and do the same thing. So I think we need to be in good graces.
And guess who's going to be here? Guess who's going to be here in next year's Super Bowl? The New England Patriots. Again.
Are you calling it already?
Again. They're going to be sitting over here at the podium doing that same thing, acting like nothing happened. I do not, for the life of me, understand how the NFL has allowed a 20-year dynasty. I don't understand
it. Man, they winning.
Don't understand it, Jason.
Guess who just walked by?
Who?
One of the flyest tight ends in football, Kansas City Chief, Travis Kelce. Just walked by. There he is over there. I want to bring the fans in right now.
He's a big dude. He's bigger than I thought he was.
He's big. He come in with the full Gene outfit on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's swagged out, man.
I mean, players, some guys got it, man. They come in and they're looking all fly.
I tried to wear jeans up and down before. That's what my wife calls it, jeans up and down. And she was like, my man,
jeans
go take that off. That's not you.
What did she say, my man?
My man, go take that off. You're too old to be rocking jeans up and down.
Jeans up and down.
Jeans up and down.
I also see the outstanding running back from the Chargers, Melvin Gordon, coming in. He kind of looked like he was lifting earlier.
Yeah.
Shoulders coming out that sweater, aren't they?
Yeah, he lifted early this morning. There's no offseason for him.
Nah, that man got in there and did some shrugs.
Yeah. But I like that, though. I like to see when players, you know, keep in shape, man. Because I've seen people in the offseason just Diego Maradona. If you know what I mean. Yeah. Oh no. What's the guy? What's the boxer's name? The British boxer who, like, Hatton, like he would be shredded.
And then off season,
my God, you'd be like, how is this even possible, man?
I saw him at an event.
Ricky Hatton.
Yeah, and obviously he's a lot smaller than me.
Yeah.
But I still felt like he could hit me with a three-punch combo and just end my day right then and there.
Yeah.
It was a humbling experience.
You know what I love about the British boxing fans? The songs they sing. Because I went to a fight, and he was fighting. They'd be like, "There's only one Ricky Hatton. There's only one Ricky Hatton." But I don't know how the rest of the song goes.
But at least he's got his own song.
Singing a song.
Shout out to our guy Jamie
bringing it in for us, man.
So Radio Row, man, it's like a lot of traffic. We just did an interview with our man Willie McGinnis.
Yeah.
Willie's the man.
I like him, man. He's one of the guys who I looked up to, you know, when I was a player, as a person, man. The way he carried himself, the way he conducts himself, man. He's a professional. But right now, Jason, I'm hungry because I'm still fasting, you know?
Yeah, you haven't eaten yet.
No, I don't. For anybody who wants to know, I do this thing called intermittent fasting.
Yep, another word I can't spell.
Yeah, intermittent fasting, whereas I don't eat till like 2, 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, like around 1:30, 2 o'clock, I start to get really, really angry.
Yep.
Hangry, as they like to call it.
Is it about that time?
Ooh, it's getting close.
What time is it right now? Oh, you have 30 minutes before you become a
bad.
Yeah, before you get real angry. I like it.
Okay.
I like it. We should have backed this up so they can so everybody could have heard you
mean.
Angry the whole time.
Why do you want people to see me like that, man?
Talking to Jay Bell like that.
Okay. It remind me of the day when I came back. I think I had taken a day off.
Tell this story.
I took a day off. I had to go to Nigeria for my father's event. So I came back from the show to do the show, and I guess Jason missed me. So we sat on the couch to do the show, and Jason immediately just starts attacking me. I was like, Jason, calm down, bro. Why are you so angry?
You did on the couch. I mean,
it's like, why are you so angry?
We went to a little break, a video break, and you like, why are you attacking me?
But you've never really explained why you were so angry, man.
I honestly was angry because I was mad you weren't there, but I didn't know I was mad until you told me, and then I realized I'm mad that you weren't here, and I'm just attacking you for no reason. But you know, I appreciate you checking me, because it was I was just disagreeing with stuff I agreed with.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so this is going to be our last podcast before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to give him predictions, man.
Okay.
We have to give him predictions.
I've
been trying to stay away from predictions,
but not on our podcast. This
but
is
not
a
on our podcast.
Special location for everything. We give him the real on our podcast.
Yeah. So what are you going with, J-Bo?
You know, this is tough, man. I'm still ride with the Patriots. It's going to be a close game. I mean, 27 maybe, 27-20, you know, 27-23. But I'm going to go with the Pats. I'm going to roll with the Patriots, man. It's tough, man. It's tough. But that's what I'm doing right now.
Everything inside me tells me the Patriots are going to win this game. Everything inside me tells me that. But I don't know, J-Bell. I'm fighting myself right now. Because Philadelphia has overcome some tremendous difficulty to be here right now.
Yeah.
They've overcome a lot more than New England has.
Yeah.
I was doing an interview with, his name is Kevin. He was a big rugby star, superstar player, rugby guy. And he said, OC, I think New England is going to win because Philadelphia... He didn't know nothing. He doesn't really know nothing about football. Mm-hmm. He's like, New England has the experience. And when somebody hasn't been there before and they go up against an experienced group of people, they usually get beat down. And I agreed with him. I was like, you're probably correct. But all that being said, I'm picking the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's cool. And I want you to roll with that because your synopsis of that is I like it.
I like that.
Yeah, you've breaking down some different angles on why they can win, and I agree. I'm going to bring the fans in. I was at dinner last night with some Eagles players, some Vikings players. OC wouldn't go because, I mean, he won two Super Bowls. He doesn't have to go. But I was there, and they were talking about the game, and they were absolutely validating the points you made the week before about they were tired. I mean, even the Eagles players were saying to the Vikings players, we know you guys were a better team than that.
Mm-hmm.
We could tell you guys just didn't have anything in the tank. And they were saying the same thing. And you called it. It's just hard to bounce back from a high like that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and you were right on. So you got to trust your instincts on some of the things you're saying because that's how that turned out, you know. But to your point, even on media night, I felt like, you know, this is their first time here. They're the Eagles. They're enjoying all of those exhilarating things out there. Man, the Patriots are here to work.
That's it.
I felt it. It was just like, they were just like, man, whatever. Let's get to the game. I want to see, man, because this stuff can wear you out, right?
Yeah.
All this pregame stuff. I mean, we'll see their energy when the game starts. We'll see if they can hone it in and let's see how these practices are going. I guess that'll be a telltale. What do you think the week of the Super Bowl, how are the practices for you?
I think I remember we put on pads one day. And then other than that, they just wanted everything fast.
Yeah.
So we practiced everything at full intensity, really high speed, up until Saturday when we just tapered everything down. But the whole week, everything was just fat. We were just flying. And I remember we did a lot of conditioning. We were running.
Smart.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of that. Both times, we just ran, kept everything nice and fresh. And, I think that played a part in why we were so in shape, man. Like, a lot of these teams, you see New England would be up on them, and then all of a sudden New England stuck them. We never had that problem.
No, you didn't.
We never had, because we were able to, we were running the entire time.
Yep.
So they need to get in better shape, maybe. Maybe that might be what it is.
Nah, man, you make a good point. And did you feel like you guys were crisp? I mean, you seen the offense running. You feel like people were catching the balls and everything was kind of flowing?
Yeah, everything. Well, except for the first Super Bowl where David Tyree
dropped every single pass.
He dropped.
If anybody knows David Tyree like we do, just a good person, man.
A
great dude.
He's part of the Young Gunners.
He is.
Me, Dill, and Tyree and Frank Walker. We were all in the Young Gunners.
Man, I'm glad it was him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad he was the one who caught the ball. What a great dude. Works for the Giants now organization and player development.
Legend.
Our friend.
Legend forever.
Legend. So I think we're done, man. I think we've maxed out our time. Radio Row is wild. Everybody wants you. I think I need to let you go to the people, man. I think I need to feed you to the people.
My man, this was awesome, man. Listen, I had a great time. Let's keep it going, man.
Let's keep it going, man. Get ready for the Super Bowl.
Yep. Play that outro music.
Play it right now.
Baby, open. I got your number on my speed dial. Baby, open. If you know, pick up, I go read that. Baby, open. My whole life changed since I met you. Baby, open. Truly, your priceless like a virtue. The way that she dance, I they feel I'm bad. Why you they do me like that? The way that she move, I they feel I'm back. Why you they do me like that? The way that she dance, I they feel I'm bad. Why you they do me like that? The way that she move, I they feel I'm back. Why you they do